Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck and Chad Marquitz here, your host for this weekend edition. Also, your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Well, this is a, I think, pretty important, let's say, weekend show because we just got to the closing of the month, of the week, of the quarter for the first quarter of 2023. And so far, I think we can broadly say 2023 is a better year than 2022 in the first quarter for investors. Markets are up, metals. I know a lot of our listeners focus on the metals as well. Those are up, and the US dollar is down, and really kind of a mixed bag in terms of yields. We will talk about it all on this weekend show. We are kicking off the show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lion's Share Pro website. That's where you can follow along with what Dana's trading, what his internal models are directing in terms of future moves. Dana, we usually start with U.S. markets, but I want to start with gold here. We are recording this later in the day on Thursday, so we don't have the monthly or quarterly close. But look, gold just broke over 2,000, has just pulled back a little bit. As we're recording this, gold is at 1998 on the futures contract. Silver is up in the $24 region. Most importantly here, gold, this could be really an all-time high closing quarter and even possibly month for gold. Most other times when gold has gotten over 2,000, even made a run up to 2,100, it has reversed quite quickly. Now, Dana, you have been playing the upward trend here in gold. Take us through your strategy now that gold is essentially knocking on that $2,000 door again.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Yeah, we've been generally bullish on the precious metals complex, as you know, for a while. We viewed that the rally into 2020 is kind of a test of those all-time highs from 2011. The market, like any other market, it's got to cool off for a while, store up some more energy so that when it does break out, it's got the opportunity to put in a more sustainable, durable breakout. So I think that's what we've seen for the last 3 years now, is that has that been enough of a digestion or consolidation to allow for a sustainable breakout? We'll see. I think it's going to come eventually. So we are, we trade ETF, so the GLD, for example, it's going to approach those highs from the last 3 years or so. Same thing as 2011. So I think maybe, you know, some more digestion here in the short term after the near-term run that we've had. But I think at this point we would maintain a pretty healthy allocation to it, because I think eventually it is building up to a breakout and kind of more sustained longer term breakout where we can see meaningful highs. Whereas, you know, as you mentioned in the past, we've run up to the other highs and kind of pulled back sharply because we didn't have enough momentum, didn't have enough marginal buyers to perpetuate that type of a breakout. So I think it's coming, whether it's during this move or not, I'm not sure, but I think it is. I don't think it's a time to take off all of your long positions waiting for a better opportunity. I think you keep it on and you add to it into a further pullback here.
Okay, Dana, so a pretty constructive outlook on the metals themselves. We do get a lot of emails from our listeners and just see a lot of chatter out there in the marketplace about why it is that gold is pretty much up near all-time highs here, getting close to it at least, and yet the mining stocks are really nowhere close to their all-time highs from really a decade ago. You had made some good points to us off mic about, you know, having a foot in both worlds where, you know, yes, they're tracking the underlying commodity, but every sector should really be valued on its own accord because they're also equities. I'd love you to maybe expand on that for some of our maybe long-suffering listeners that have mining stocks and they feel like they should have performed better, all things considered.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a good point that, despite the fact that these mining companies, obviously they're tied to the metals themselves, they are, after all, companies, so they are equities. So if the equity market in general is going to struggle, which we think it's going to continue to struggle, the bounce of the last week to 10 days notwithstanding, we think longer term the equity market will struggle. So that will be, in a sense, a headwind on the mining companies, especially any tied to indices, which if investors are selling the indexes, and especially during those kind of panicky type markets where everything gets sold, then they're going to be selling the mining companies as well, even if gold and silver and the metals themselves are moving to new highs. But I think in the longer term, you're going to see the correlation between the companies, the miners, and the metals themselves hold in a positive fashion. It's just that when you're in a specific market where, as you mentioned, the miners are getting pulled by both the commodity exposure as well as the equity exposure, it's not, you can't blindly put your money in there when gold is going up and think the miners are going to absolutely go up every time. There's going to be pressure, especially during a bear market, from stock selling. So as you mentioned, I think it's an important reminder that whatever you're trading, whatever security or commodity you're trading, you have to trade them on their own merits. You can't assume because one commodity, one asset is moving in a certain direction that another asset or security is going to necessarily go that direction on a one-to-one relationship. That's not always the case. So you always have to deploy a certain amount of risk management on whatever securities, whatever market you're trading, based on, again, the own merits of that security.
So what are some levels you're watching for GDX? Because quite frankly, the gold community, when they see gold moving higher to all-time highs, they don't expect a one-to-one correlation in the stocks. They expect a 4-to-1 or 5-to-1 correlation where the stocks outperform. Gold is, let's say, 5% off of all-time highs. GDX is almost 100% away from all-time highs. So what are the levels here that you're watching for simply the miners like GDX?
Absolutely. And again, like we mentioned, you have to judge each on its own merit. It just because gold is at testing all-time highs doesn't mean GDX or the miners themselves will be testing all-time highs. So you have to look at the various levels and the various charting techniques each and every asset. So specifically at GDX, 33, just over 33, where we saw a top out earlier this year, is an extremely important level, I think. We'll take some profits there, just above 33, maybe 33 and a quarter or so, and then try to flip it and add it back into a short-term pullback. We'll maintain healthy position. So maybe if it blasts right through there, then fine, we can deal with that. Maybe we're being too cute, but 33, mid-33s is going to be a challenge. If we decisively reclaim that, then the next big level is probably up near 40. Where we saw, tops in the last couple of years, 2021, 2022. And then, from there, it's the high in 2020 around, I think it was $46, which was, almost exactly the 61 retracement of the downturn from 2011 to the lows in 2016. So sometimes this, the Fibonacci levels and some of these charting techniques, sometimes they work. People think it's like kind of some sort of a voodoo type of a religion or whatever, but at a minimum, sometimes it works perfectly, but at a minimum, it gives you some sort of an objective criteria to with which to manage your risk. So whether that works out perfectly, at least it gives you some sort of a structure with which to maintain some discipline.
Yeah, Dana, well stated. Sometimes those Fibonacci numbers aren't just the pattern and structure of nature from pine cones to galaxies, but they also show up in the stock market charts. Uncannily, some of those pullbacks or extensions will be right at the Fibonacci level. So appreciate you bringing that up as far as how you look at the technicals. I guess before we leave the metals, I know you also follow Dr. Copper. It's often seen as a leading indicator for the economy, but it's actually been doing a little bit better lately. possibly on the back of the weaker dollar, but I want to get your thoughts on copper. And then also, I know you track COPEX, C-O-P-X, which is the copper stocks.
Yeah, copper's been doing well of late as well. It does have some more technical challenges, as does silver, as compared with gold, for example, which is testing all-time highs. Copper and silver have some resistance to deal with, so it's not going to be maybe as smooth a ride. Plus, like we talked about, the equity influence on the miners, there's going to be a certain economic influence more so on copper than maybe gold. So that might be a bit of a headwind. But overall, I think the construct is certainly bullish in terms of copper, as well as, like you mentioned, copper miners, which have been doing pretty well of late as well. We've had a position there for some time. We do have some resistance on that chart as well. COPX around that 39-ish level. So we're right near that resistance. So wouldn't necessarily be chasing it here. If we get through here, then we're up near that 42 level where we topped out at the beginning of the year. But you don't have to chase it into rallies. It's like any other thing. You really want to be buying it into good entry points into support, as opposed to kind of chasing it at those Fibonacci resistance levels. So 39, I wouldn't necessarily be buying it. But if we do pop through there, then COPX, I suspect, will be at 42 quickly. And then some sort of a retracement, which will give you an opportunity to add to your position.
All right, let's move over to U.S. equity markets here, Dana. Again, markets are broadly up for this year, being led by the NASDAQ. NASDAQ up about 17%, the S&P up only about 4-ish percent, let's say. So again, outperformance by what was one of the worst performing broad averages last year. You even alluded to it in that earlier segment that, look, you are generally bearish still on the stock market. Take us through what you're watching, what levels you think really these markets could turn over on.
Sure. So a couple things from a durational standpoint. Nothing goes in a straight line. So even if we're in a bear market, it's not unusual to see bear market bounces like we've seen since October, and then also over the last couple weeks. But it's important to remember, even if we look at something like the value line geometric average, which tracks the median stock in the market, basically it topped out beginning of 2022 around 700, sold off to below 500 in October. It's regained about a quarter of that now. So it's not like we're back in like the good old days are back and we're in a ripping bull market again. We've had a mean reversion bounce. Something like that average is only up about 2%. So the median stock is only up about 2%. And that's after getting slammed during the course of 2022. So I wouldn't get too excited. And same thing when considering investment selection and what areas of the market you want to be invested in. And from that standpoint, you look at growth and tech and the NASDAQ specifically, areas that we think have started a long-term down move on a relative basis, especially versus value. Right now, they're leading the way. Obviously, in the short term, they're from a technical perspective, they are in more of a stronger position than other areas of the market. But I think that's going to end up being, kind of a mean reversion head fake. Because what happened, everyone saw what sectors were getting blasted last year. So everyone, once they do throw in the towel, they start piling into shorts and inverse ETFs on those sectors that are getting crushed, like technology. So you look back in October, everyone was shorting, NASDAQ and technology. So it's not surprising that those have been the areas that have bounced back the most, but still they've recovered very little of the losses that they incurred throughout the course of last year. So do I think that's the start of something, or an absolute bullish move? No. Do I think it's the start of a relative bullish move? No. I think it's going to be another rug pull for the technology and the growth sector. And just generally, from an equity perspective, I think we're probably nearing the point where you should be selling pretty aggressively, or at least hedging pretty aggressively, because I don't think this bounce is going to last either. You mentioned our models that our quantitative models that basically direct our investment posture. And after trying to move higher during the first part of the year, they did finally give way and started heading down in a pretty sharp manner. And even interestingly, even during the bounce over the last 2 weeks, many of our indicators, many of those components have not budged. They continue to move down, which is not it's not the indication we want to see when we're considering whether or not this is the start of a longer term bullish move. So the more we go up here until our indicators turn, the more we bounce, the more we'll sell and the more we'll continue to hedge.
Well, Dana, you mentioned some of the quantitative and technical data you're looking at that tells you there's probably more downside still left despite this recent relief rally. But if we kind of just widen the scope back, you know, if you think back just 2 years to 2021, when it was kind of peak froth in the sector and everybody was excitedly long and enthusiastic about the markets never stopping going higher. And that's really what marked the top. And really the end of 2021, Q3 and Q4 is where most stocks individually corrected, even if the index has still had a little more life until November. We saw a rough year in 2022, but now we are seeing people say, hey, the coast is clear. This is a new bull market. You just laid out some quantitative data as to why that's probably not the case based on the models you're looking at. But you also track sentiment, Dana. We were mentioning before we started recording that just the what you're seeing in some sentiment readings, and then just anecdotally when you're out there looking at the reaction, there are a lot of investors that think the good times are here again. What message would you have for people that are maybe getting sucked into that narrative that think, hey, we're back into a new bull market again in the general stock markets?
Well, my message is the same as it always is. Find either a manager or a methodology that is based in quantitative analysis or objective criteria to guide your investments, because going on feel, I can tell you, does not work. It's going to actually subvert. It's the worst way to go. Human nature is going to dictate that you do the wrong thing at the wrong time. You're going to be buying when you should be selling, selling when you should be buying. And that's basically how contrarian sentiment analysis works. Obviously, there's some interpretation that goes into it, and there are some longer and shorter term, obviously, indicators within that realm that are helpful on different time frames. But yeah, my advice would be to come up with either a manager or a strategy that is based on objective criteria that helps you overcome those human natural tendencies that usually lead you in the wrong direction. Because we are, like you mentioned, we are seeing, and only a couple weeks removed from that mini banking crisis, we're already seeing some of those short-term sentiment readings getting overly bullish, believe it or not. And I think maybe we got through the Fed meeting and the banking sector did not collapse. So maybe folks think, okay, well, we're out of that. We're through the woods there. We've bought some time before anything else bad could necessarily creep up. But I think if you look at the market data, the actual quantitative data that matters to us, nothing has really changed. You know, we're seeing a short-term bounce, but nothing in the data that would suggest the sort of enthusiastic or bullish response that we've noticed in the indicators. And even perusing Twitter, we're seeing a lot of, like you mentioned, the good old bullish days are back type of mood. And I would be very, very careful about adopting that mindset at this time.
Dana, this ties perfectly into the day that we're recording this, opening day for baseball. You've used the baseball analogy throughout this bear market, over a year now, that it's more about hitting singles. You're not out there swinging for the fences, trying to hit a home run. This is more about taking the profits where you can, getting your hit where you can. Is that still your overall strategy then?
Yeah, in the equity market, it certainly is, because, you know, we've been more or less range bound for the last, almost 6 months now. So it's not like you're seeing anything breaking to new highs and you can just ride it. There are other asset classes. Sure, gold could break out and move in a big way. At the same time, we're bullish long term bears on the bond market. But in the near term. We break the recent lows, we think we could have a big down move in yields down towards 280 on the 10-year, 3% on the 30-year. That could be, you know, kind of swinging for a home run in terms of the bond market. And on the short side of equities, we may be closer to the opportunity to kind of swing for the fences on the short side of the equity market, as a matter of fact, rather than little dinks here and there and laying down a bunt here and there. We're getting close to the point where we might, I don't know if you would say swing for the fences, because that kind of belies our risk management strategy, but maybe take a more aggressive bet on the downside in the equity market in the not too distant future.
Okay, Dana, thank you as always for your insights. Always say, I take what you have to say very importantly, simply because, look, you are not biased into any individual sector, and you are letting your models tell you where future moves are coming, and you played that bear market, seems like almost perfectly, the whole way down, and you're still very much in that mentality. Dana, thank you very much for your time. We'll chat again in another couple of weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.